Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Veg Grower Podcast. My name is Richard and I want to inspire and encourage more people to grow their own food by turning my own garden into a lean, mean food producing machine. Now, coming up this week, we of course have got the winner of the Name the Chicken competition. But before that, we have quite a few things to get through. I'm going to share how I tackled my white fly problem. I've got an update from the Veg Pod Garden, and we've got the seed of the month. So let's go out to the shed and start with the seed of the month. Well, it is the beginning of the month, and with the beginning of the month, of course, it brings along one of our new features, the seed of the month. Now, last month we did the summer squash Zephyr F1. I'm pleased to say those plants are looking really vibrant, really healthy, and seem to be growing well. But this month I have for you another seed of the month. It's a cucumber called Dragon's Egg, and it is called a Dragon's Egg cucumber because the cucumbers it produces are nice white egg-shaped cucumbers. They look absolutely awesome, and what with it being Easter, it just seems to make sense. Now, we do this feature in collaboration with Premier Seeds Direct. Premier Seeds are a great resource for your vegetable seeds. They sell hundreds and hundreds of different types of vegetable seeds, flower seeds, different varieties, but their real selling point is they are sold at a very reasonable price. But I don't get paid anything for this feature. What we have got for you is a discount code. Use VegPod10 and you can get an extra 10% off everything you buy from Premier Seeds Direct. As an example of how reasonable the prices are, Premier Seeds Direct sell these Dragon's Egg cucumber seeds for £1.49 for 25 seeds. So very, very reasonable price, I've got to say. Now, to sow these seeds, I am using these coir-based compact discs. These are about 1 centimetre deep when we first pull them out, 2 centimetres across. But what we do is we add water to these discs and we get an expanded version. They expand to about 5 centimetres deep, which is just about right for what we want. Now, what we're going to do, I'm just going to take my pencil and just dip a little hole in the middle of each of these expanded discs. I'm going to try and get about 2 centimetres deep, and that will be about right for these cucumbers. Now, while I am focusing on the Dragon's Egg variety of cucumbers today, what with it being Easter, it just seems to make sense. But there are lots of other varieties of cucumbers that we could use as well. And they are all pretty much grown in exactly the same way. A few of the ones that I want to mention, also by Premier Seeds Direct as well, are Femspot, Burpless, and Carmen, all of which are your standard cucumber. But if you want some of the more unusual cucumbers, then there's Crystal Lemon, Crystal Apple, both of which have hints of flavour from their namesake. They are pretty interesting vegetables, I have to say. I've grown them in the past. Very, very interesting. Anyway, these seeds, we're going to get these ones sown. So we've made our little holes about 2 centimetres deep, and I have a general rule when it comes to seed sowing. I've said it many times before. The bigger the seed, the deeper you go. 2 centimetres is about right. We're just going to take a single seed. We can manage to hold on to these seeds pretty well. And we're just going to push that into the hole that we have made inside each of these Jiffy coir pots. Now, once we have sown these, we're going to have to place these inside my heated propagator. They need to be somewhere fairly warm. Above 21 degrees C is ideal. And that will mean that these should germinate. Well, it could be within a few days, but up to 2 weeks. Once they have germinated, we will keep these seedlings, of course, indoors and keep them warm. It's going to be far too cold in my greenhouse at the moment for them to go out there. We're really looking for a temperature above 12 degrees C for the seedlings to really still survive. but they will need plenty of light in order to continue to grow, of course. Now, we can grow cucumbers both outside or in the greenhouse. Ideally, when we grow these in a greenhouse, we want them in slightly different conditions to our tomatoes. We often do have to grow cucumbers and tomatoes together, but cucumbers like it a little bit more humid. Ideally, they would be in separate greenhouses, which is why on my allotment I do have two greenhouses for each type, particular type of plant. Melons, cucumbers go in one, tomatoes, chilies, peppers in the other. What we have to do is just try and ensure that we've got plenty of humidity in the greenhouse when we are growing in the greenhouse by either splashing water around on a daily basis just on the floor of the greenhouse, and that should increase the humidity to be right for cucumbers. But if we're going to be growing these outdoors, then we're looking for the risk of frost to have passed, which for me is about mid-May. And in the meantime, what I'm just going to do is prepare the ground where these are to grow. Make sure there's plenty of compost added to the ground. The RHS recommends 2 bucketfuls of garden compost per cucumber plant, and some general fertilizers such as Growmore just to help them out as well. Now, when we plant them out in, you know, like I say, about mid-May for me, maybe later depending on where you are, we want to water them before we plant them out just to make sure that the plants are easier to come out of their pots. And then we just take them out of the pot, pop them in the hole, give them a good watering, and add a stake or support for them to grow up. A bamboo cane or something similar to that is ideal. Keep tying in the cucumbers as they grow, of course, to make sure they are supported. It is possible to actually leave them to ramble across the ground, but you do get a bit more problems with slugs and snails and other problems like that. Growing them upwards is usually the best bet. But if you do want to grow them on the ground, it can be quite interesting to see how they work out. Cucumbers do like a sunny spot, so it is important to bear that in mind when you are planning where to grow your cucumbers at all. Now, when I am growing my cucumbers, both in the greenhouse or outside, one of the things we need to make sure is that we feed them when the flowers start to develop, such as a good tomato feed. This will just encourage our cucumbers to produce more flowers and therefore more fruits. And also, when the cucumbers either reach the top of the greenhouse or about 5 foot tall, we want to pinch out the top of the cucumbers as well. That way the plant concentrates its energy into its fruits. In the past, we used to actually remove the male flowers as well. They used to have a little sort of fruit behind them, but we don't have to worry about that with modern varieties. This was particularly in greenhouse varieties. The reason being is that when they would cross-pollinate, it would cause our cucumbers to taste bitter. But we don't have to worry about that too much with modern varieties. Most of them now are female-only varieties. But again, just check what cucumbers you're growing with. These dragon's egg, it's nothing to really worry about either. When we harvest these dragon egg cucumbers, we're looking for them to be between 10 and 15 centimetres long, and they should be a nice glossy white colour all over, and they will look just like eggs. So that's going to be quite fun. Now, please do go give it a go, and please do go check out Premier Seeds Direct. That discount code, once again, VegPod10, if you want to make the most of it. Right, it's time to go and check over the veggie pods, so I'll meet you by those. But in the meantime, let's find out what's happening in the Supporters Club this week. Well, I hope you are enjoying this podcast so far. If you are, then perhaps you would be good enough to leave a rating and review on your podcast provider. By rating and reviewing, it only takes you a few seconds, but it helps us get the algorithms working, get us seen by more people. And that is so, so important when you want to encourage more people to grow their own food. Now, Lynn left us a review on Spotify once again, and she actually said something that a lot of people have said to me. It's so good to hear when things go wrong, such as my white fly problem, because she has been battling with that herself. Well, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. But if you do want to support this podcast as well, then please consider becoming a member of our Supporters Club. By becoming a member of our Supporters Club, you help keep this podcast running. To be a member, just costs £5 a month, but for that you get extra behind the scenes podcasts as well as a collection of seeds sent to your door every month that you are a member, and these seeds can be sown in that very month. We've just sent out April's selection. It's a great selection, I've got to tell you. We've got pumpkins, cucumbers, cumin, we have got some parsnips, dwarf French beans and a melon. That is how many seeds I send out on a monthly basis, and they change every month. Now, if that's something you would be interested in, head to thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk to find out more and sign up. And let's get back to the gardening. Well, I'm out in what I call the veggie pod garden now. This is an area on my patio, shall we say, where I have my three veggie pots. Now, I grow lots of food in my veggie pots. I'm a big fan of veggie pots since I got one a few years ago because of the amount of food that we can actually produce in them and how easy they are to grow food. They're incredibly productive. Now, if you don't know what a veggie pod is, it is a raised garden bed. It's got an integrated mesh cover, watering system, and it collects water in the bottom of a well to wick water up through the compost, so the compost always stays moist. And that, I think, is the real secret why it is so productive. Anyway, it's time to have a good tidy up in these and see just what is going on. So let's start, if I open it up, with my small veggie pot. Now, this one I generally use for growing herbs in, and we've still got some chives and some parsley in here. We've actually been harvesting some of these because, well, they're ready, really. The chives themselves have been growing incredibly early this year in here, and they are already at full length. We pick a few off as we need them. They do incredibly well. And the parsley as well is incredibly big. We sowed it during the winter months, and I've always said that parsley grows best during the colder months, but the parsley, I would say, is actually taking up most of the room in here. So I'm not going to be able to sow any more seeds in here. I've added a bit of plant food into this, and I can see we've got a few slugs and snails in here, so I'm going to remove those. I think what I'll do in the future, once we've finished with the parsley, I'll stick with growing herbs in here, but smaller herbs that are less likely to take over. Let's go to the medium veggie pod now. This is where I tend to grow a lot of my salad leaves, and this is absolutely full of salad leaves. Again, we've been growing this right throughout the winter. We've got some red mustard that we sowed back in December, maybe even November. We've got chard separating out the four corners. We've got lamb's lettuce, which is absolutely lovely, really vibrant looking plants there as well. And then we've got some mixed lettuce at the back. Now, I use this for salad leaves. So when we're having a salad, I come out here, pick a few leaves, or go with sandwiches and things like that. And because we can grow lamb's lettuce and mustard and chard, we can mix and match it all up. But what I tend to do, I've cut this veggie pod into four distinct corners, and each month I will sow into each corner, and it's time to sow in the final corner. So what we would do, we would give it a good weed, and we've got a few weeds in there that do need removing. We'll add a bit of compost on top, and then we will just sow some mixed lettuce leaves straight on top. Now, the mixed lettuce leaves would grow fantastically well. In a few weeks' time, we will be actually harvesting the sowings that we make today. And that should tally up with when the other lettuce leaves are just going over, when they're starting to bolt, when they're past their best. Point is, we've got plenty of salad leaves going on that we're already feeding ourselves with at the moment. And we've been feeding right throughout the winter. This is the thing I really like about veggie pots. The integrated mesh cover really does trap the heat in while still allowing light. And that means that over winter, we have grown a good amount of food. Now we've got my large veggie pot as well, which I mostly use, if I'm honest with you, for roots. We did very well with this last year. The reason I mostly do roots in here is due to the fact that it is just so easy to grow roots in here. I tend not to directly sow anything in our ground. I find it very difficult to sort of try and get things to grow when we sow them in the ground. Carrots, beetroot, things like that, that take quite a while to germinate. They can get lost with all the seeds and things like that. But in here just seems to make it quite easy. Again, slugs and snails are in here. So what I'm going to have to do is spray all these with some of our Grazer's G2. I haven't done that, if I'm honest with you. And in fact, what we did do, January and December, we sowed some carrot seeds and they all germinated, but quite a few of them have been munched. So I'm definitely going to have to start removing slugs and snails from here and spray this with our grazers to stop the slugs and snails. Now, quick recap, what have I got in here? Celery, which has been growing right throughout the winter. We've got some spring onions, we've got some carrots, and we've got some beetroot that we are ready for harvesting. We're going to sow some more carrots. But what I've also noticed, we've got some parsnips that have actually germinated in here. Now, I haven't actually sown any parsnips in here. These have just germinated because they must have been left in the soil from last year. We did grow parsnips in here last year. We didn't go for the big parsnips. These were the long, thin parsnips. It did very well, I have to say. We grew plenty of them. We're going to do parsnips in the ground as well. That's one I would do in the ground. But I think we will sow some more parsnips. But the fact that these have germinated in here already tells me that this soil temperature is probably about right to start sowing parsnips. So that's something we will have to do pretty soon. Parsnips is one of those that a lot of people have trouble germinating. And I think that is just due to people trying to do them a little bit too early. We're going to sow some more spring onions and some beetroot in here and some radish as well. Again, these will all do great for growing in this particular unit. Now, of course, I know not everybody will have a veggie pod. They are quite expensive, but they are something I highly recommend if you are serious about growing your own food. This isn't an ad for veggie pod. It just happens to be this particular garden that I've set up, and I've just found it to be incredibly productive. Now, talking of food, let's see what Chef Scott has for us this week.
Hi, it's Scott here with this week's recipe. And I notice at the allotment my broad bean plants are in flower, so it won't be long until we're harvesting them. So I thought I would share a broad bean recipe ahead of time. Broad beans are one of my favourite beans, and with their pods being like fluffy sleeping bags, they have to be one of the comfiest beans there is. I developed this week's recipe about 20 years ago, and have been putting it on my spring menus ever since. It's perfect with spring lamb, so great for this time of year. Or, if you don't eat meat, it's great on a bruschetta with goat cheese. And it is broad bean, apricot and mint salsa. If you think you don't like broad beans, give this recipe a try. It might just change your mind. So let's head to the kitchen and hear how it's made. You can find this recipe and others on the veggrowerpodcast.co.uk or on my Instagram page, Seed to Table Plot 13, along with a supporting video and other food and gardening related posts. For this recipe, you will need 250 grams of broad beans, double podded, 60 grams of diced shallots, 125 grams of diced dried apricots, a bunch of chopped mint, about 40 grams, half a red chilli, finely diced, the zest of half a lemon, and the juice of one, 100 millilitres of olive oil, salt and pepper. Method: start by preparing the broad beans. Do this by first boiling in water for 2 minutes and then drop them into ice cold water to cool. Then remove the outer shells, exposing the bright green tender beans. Now add them to a mixing bowl along with the other prepared ingredients and mix well. And then serve them with some beautiful spring lamb. And that's the recipe done. And that's it from me this week.
Well, I've come into the greenhouse now, and I came in here because I wanted to talk to you about how I have been dealing with the white fly problem I've had. Now, this has been something I've been talking about quite a bit in recent weeks. I've never had problems with white fly before. So to get it this year was a bit of a shock. But when I've came into this greenhouse to do record this, I've discovered that my shelf of plants has fallen over. And a lot of my chilies, my aubergines are all over the place. They came out of their pots. This is a disaster. Hopefully we'll be able to rectify it. And I think we will have to dispose of any that are no good. This is annoying. This is very, very annoying and upsetting when this happens. This is one of the reasons that I should have got a very stable shelf system in here. Lesson learned, isn't it? Anyway, let's talking of white fly. So I have had this white fly problem this year. White fly is a type of aphid. It comes along, it sucks the sap out of our plants in order to feed itself. And that is not a good thing for our plants because it can actually kill off our plants. White fly is, of course, a natural insect, so I don't like to kill anything if I can help it. It is part of what we have to deal with as gardeners. It is part of the natural environment. But when it's killing off our plants, it can be a bit of a problem. My peppers and aubergines have been particularly obliterated by them, but it also affects tomatoes, cucumbers, and many other vegetables like that. So white fly can really be a problem. Now, one of the things that I've been using to tackle white fly has been one of the grazers spray that is specifically designed for white fly. The idea is you spray it on your plants. It's a calcium based organic, although it's not labeled as organic, but it is calcium based and organic. You spray it on and the white fly just don't like sucking the sap off the plants. It just repels them as opposed to killing off white fly, which is what I would much rather do. But, and this is where I went wrong, you really need to spray it on before the white fly becomes a problem. I have now adopted a routine where I spray on every Wednesday. I spray all my plants with the Grazer's White Fly Spray. It's just part of my routine now. And what I've discovered is all the plants that have came after I've started spraying, the younger plants, are not being affected by white fly. So it's working. It is doing what I wanted it to do. But what about the plants? What if you've already got white fly? White fly is particularly a problem indoors, in conservatories, in greenhouses, and that's certainly been our case. It started in our kitchen. I moved our plants out to the greenhouse on the hope it would be too cold for the white fly, but the problems just got worse. So what did I do to really get the numbers down? What it is, I took a spray bottle, I filled it up with water and I pot it on the setting that just sprays a jet of water. And then I just sprayed all my plants with that to knock off the white fly. Now, some people would add a drop of washing up soap in there, or horticultural soap is another option. These are things I don't really like to use, to be honest. I'd sooner just use water. The reason being is that I much rather not kill anything unless it is being killed by natural methods. What I mean by that is my preferred method of natural predators. These could be things like ladybirds or hoverflies or spiders that would come along and eat the white fly for us. They are my preferred way to deal with things. But being indoors or in a greenhouse, it's very difficult for these predators to get in. There are companies out there that you can buy some of these predators and pop them into where you need them dealt with. One in particular company that I highly recommend is Ladybird Plant Care, based in Brighton. She does a very good job of sending out natural predators. So if you are looking for something, I should have possibly brought some in myself, but I would have thought, in all honesty, it's too cold for some of these predators anyway. So again, these are lessons learned. What I will do is plant some companion plantings such as dill that brings in these predators to deal with a lot of these insects for us. Again, this is my preferred way. I think the natural predators are the much better way, and companion planting or just bringing in some insects will help with that. I do not like to use pesticides at all. I think they are wrong. They don't only kill the pests that we are having problem with, they kill all the other insects as well. And it's a chemical that we're adding onto our foods. It's just, for me, isn't something I like to use. The only other thing that some people will use is some yellow sticky labels, where insects get stuck onto the yellow sticky labels and they can't get away. Again, I find those to be a bit indiscriminate, and I think also a bit wasteful. The only thing that I use like that is some of my carnivorous plants. Again, I've got those indoors, and they are sticky plants. The insects will come along, they get stuck on the leaves, and the plants start to digest down the insects and use it as their own food. That is my preferred way. I think it's just much more natural rather than trying to use any chemical means. But as I said, to really get the numbers down, regular spraying of water as a jet just to knock the aphids off the plant seems to work quite well. I did it on a daily basis, and that really did get my numbers down. Unfortunately, we did make some losses, some peppers, some of our chilies, and so on. Our aubergines, etc., have been lost to whitefly, and now they've fallen over. I may have lost even more, which is going to be annoying, but we will sort that out and see what happens. These are all the things that test us, aren't they? Right, I will meet you in the podding shed, where we will find out the winner for the competition of naming that chicken. Well, here we are in the podding shed to wrap up this week's podcast. Now, it is the 1st of April, but this is not an April Fool's. It is well past that time. And what we have tonight is the winner of the Name That Chicken competition. This was a competition to choose the name for one of our new chickens. And I've put every single name in a hat, and we will choose one of those names in just a second. The winner, of course, winning tickets to Gardeners World Spring Fair. So, let's go have a look and see what names we've got. There's some really good names, I've got to say, that have came in. This has been, unfortunately, one of the downsides of doing this competition. There's been some really good names, and I wish that I could have let everybody win, but there can only be one winner. I always feel awful doing this, but we had hundreds of entries, absolutely hundreds of entries. We have got the chance to win more tickets in the future, especially for Gardeners World Live, so keep listening to future podcasts for that. But the winner for today's one was, the name is Hedwig, as in Hedwig from Harry Potter, but Hedwig. Fantastic. And that came in from Nicola. Congratulations. I will email you and sort everything out from there. Well done indeed. I'm sorry there could only be one winner. That is the end of it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed it. If you have, then please do rate and review this podcast on your podcast provider. If you want to get in touch, my email address is richard@veggrowpodcast.co.uk, or you can leave a comment on the bottom of a blog post. Leave a voicemail as well at our website at veggrowpodcast.co.uk, or you can also contact me through social media. And don't forget to please consider becoming a member of our supporters club. Right, well, that is it for this week. We will be back again next time. So until then, please take care.